all the many good things that he's doing. And I want to ask you, if you would, today to take your Bibles and open them to the book of Romans. We're going to be looking in Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11 at verse 7 and following. At God addressing the state of the union. God addresses the state of the union. So I'm going to ask you, if you would, to stand in reverence to God's Word as we read these verses today. Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 11, beginning with verse number 7. Romans 11, then, beginning with verse 7, says this: What then, what Israel sought so earnestly, it did not obtain, but the elect did. The others were hardened, as it is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes so they could not see, and ears so they could not hear, to this very day. And David says, May their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block, and a retribution for them. May their eyes be darkened so they cannot see, and their backs be bent forever. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the way it speaks to us. Lord, for truth that it reveals and application that it gives for our day. Lord, we give you praise for that. We realize our nation stands at a place, Lord, at a crossroads where we need to make some decisions. And Father, one of the first decisions we need to make is that, Lord, we want to be on your side. We want to line up with you and your truth and ask, Lord, that you would just have your way in our lives. Lord, we need a revival in America, and we realize that it could start here. Lord, it could start among your people right here if we would just listen to your word and listen to your Holy Spirit speak and be obedient to your voice. And Lord, I pray that you would draw men and women to yourself. How wonderful it would be to see some today open their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Jesus, come in and be Lord of my life and make that commitment to follow the Lord in baptism. Lord, others that you're drawing to be a part of this church fellowship, that they would come, and others that just need to come for personal repentance and to draw close to you. Lord, we ask that we would follow you today. We would let your Holy Spirit prompt us and convict us. And Lord, that we would be obedient to you. Father, may you have your way in every heart and life. And again, we praise you, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we started looking at this 11th chapter of the book of Romans. And this chapter focuses on the future of Israel, of the nation of Israel, and what God's going to do on their past. But before we get there, he first now looks at their present rejection. It always amazes me to notice that as we're preaching through a book of the Bible, that how the scriptures we come to seem to apply to whatever special day may be coming around. And it's interesting that as we're coming to a time where we're changing presidents and we're having an inauguration of a new president and a new president who before long will give a State of the Union address, that we find here that God gives us a State of the Union address. And it's one that I pray that we will listen to and say, God, is there something here that I need to especially listen to, that I need to make application in my life concerning, that I would listen to your voice? Because I want you to look at a passage with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians 10, look at verse 11 and 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, notice verse number 11. He's talking about Israel, and he says, these things happened to them, happened to Israel as examples, and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Well, God comes and says, you know what? These things that we look and we see happen in Israel's past, they were written down for us as examples, as warnings for us to look back at and say, oh, no, notice where they went wrong. And then to pray, God, help us not to make the same mistake. Help us not to make the same mistake. So let's notice what God says here to the nation, and notice also the application that it has for us, for our nation. First of all, we see in verse 7, the seeking of a nation. The seeking of a nation. You know, when you look at Israel, in fact, you can't really even think about Israel without thinking about it being God's nation and how that nation started. You know, God chose a man to build a nation, and his name was Abraham, and God gave Abraham promises. And as we go through the Old Testament, we see how God developed the nation, how that God protected that nation, how that he provided for it. It was a nation that was concerned with seeking righteousness. In fact, everything about the nation of Israel points toward the righteousness of God. Their law, the laws were given to them for righteousness. Their customs are all about righteousness and religious observances. In fact, religion was not part of their life. Religion was their life. It was their life. That was the focal point of life itself. And yet we see that they moved away from true righteousness. They moved away from what God wanted them to be, where they were in this special relationship with Him and where they knew Him and they humbled themselves and walked with Him. And they turned away from the relationship and turned their religion into works. Into works. Something that could be seen, something that could be measured. And that's something that we've got to be careful about. In fact, what about America? What about our beginnings in this country? When we look about the beginnings of America, this country was established on behalf of religious freedom. The freedom of religion and religious liberty. In fact, our Constitution was written and there were amendments given so that we could have guidelines. And the whole thing about separation of church and state was written so that the state would not infringe on the church. And now we see that it's being reinterpreted so that the church can't infringe on the state. Exactly the opposite of what was intended. And folks, we need to come back and realize how our country was founded and what it was to stand for. God had made us a great nation because we stood for His truth. We were built on scriptural principles, on the Word of God. Now, what happened to Israel and what is happening to America? Well, verse 7 points it out to us. Notice, again, if you will, in Romans 11, verse number 7, he says, what then? You know, what is the problem? What Israel sought so earnestly, it did not obtain, but the elect did. Notice this. The others, those who did not believe, were hardened. Were hardened. That's the word to underline there in that verse. Were hardened. Others were hardened. The King James uses the word blinded. But the Greek word here literally means hardened. It means to cover with a thick skin. The minds and hearts of the people were covered with scar tissue. They became like wood that's lost its sap and becomes petrified. Hard-hearted. That's what God's pointing to. You know what? If we begin to slowly move away from God and we become disobedient and we continue in that disobedience, you're going to find that your heart becomes hard toward God. And easier to go the wrong way. Now, what leads to such a hardening? Notice we said in verse number 8, as he points to the stupor of the nation. The stupor. Look at that verse again, if you will. verse number 8, he goes on to say, as it is written, God gave them over. God gave them a spirit of stupor. Eyes so that they could not see, and ears so that they could not hear. The word stupor is a Greek word that's used only once in the New Testament. And that's right here. It describes one's condition after suffering a severe blow or wound. It describes a state of dull sensibility to everything spiritual. Dull sensibility to the spiritual. I want you to turn back and look at a passage in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 29. Isaiah 29, and notice verse 10 and following. Isaiah chapter 29, verse number 10. Notice what he says. The Lord has brought over you a deep sleep. He has sealed your eyes, the prophets. He has covered your heads, the seers. For you, this whole nation, this whole vision is nothing but words sealed in a scroll. As if you give the scroll to someone who can read and say to him, read this please. And he will answer, I can't. It is sealed. Or if you give the scroll to someone who cannot read and say, read this please. And he will answer, I don't know how to read. What is these verses talking about? God gave them over to a spirit of slumber, a spiritual stupor, so that they were unable to read and understand the Word of God. In fact, the result is that the people who were learned, the people that had ought to have a sense because they are learned people, they've got degrees, they act totally ignorant about the words of Word of God. Do we not see that today? People that have all kind of degrees and who the world even looks up to, but when something spiritual is brought up or mentioned or a scripture verse is mentioned, they're like, what? What do you mean? They don't understand. They don't see. What is there? In fact, it's an attitude of so what? So what? You tell someone that, you know what, the Bible says that in the end days this is going to happen. Children are going to be disobedient. There's going to be this loss of morals and morality, and people aren't going to be able to understand what's right and wrong, and there's going to be all kinds of lewdness and homosexuality and immorality running rampant. And they look at you and say, so what? So what? Why did God bring this upon them, this deep sleep? Isaiah 29 verse 13 says again, so that they couldn't hear, they couldn't see, they couldn't grasp it. They were far. They acted like they were close to God, but they were far from God. Their mouth and lips seemed close to God. But God says, your heart was far from me. Boy, you know, it's easy to come to church and come into this building and begin to sing songs and listen and look. And you know what? It looks like we're close to God. I mean, our lips and our mouth are saying the right words. But I want to ask you, where is our heart? Where is our heart? Is it pursuing God? Do we love Him above all other things? Are we spiritual? Or are we in a spiritual stupor? A spiritual slumbering? A spiritual daze in God's presence? But I want you to notice, if you would, the snare of the nation. Verse number 9 talks about the snare that Israel was facing. Notice that in verse chapter 11, verse number 9, and David says, may their table become a snare and a trap. a stumbling block and a retribution for them. You know, what is he referring to here? Their table. In fact, it's a quote from Psalm 69, verses 22 and 23. And what he's referring to is their table of food and blessing. I mean, here you have plenty to eat. You've been blessed. You've got good things. And David says, you know what? Because you're choosing to dishonor God and disobey God, may your blessings become a snare, a trap unto you. Boy, talking about the fact that God can use the things that were meant to be blessings and benefits to become a curse, a snare, and even a stumbling block. And that's what happened to Israel. The good things blinded them from the best things. And they began to pursue those good things for themselves to have plenty, but neglected the very things of God. Now I want to ask you, is that us? Are we walking down that dangerous trail? Are we allowing the good things that God has set up for us, even as a church, to move us away from God? Let me give you some examples. Baptism. You know, baptism is an outward sign of an inner work. But if you're not careful, you will let that outward sign be the only thing that you really look at. I've asked people before, do you know that you're saved? And they say, yes, I know that I'm saved. Well, why do you know? Because I've been baptized. Listen, baptism does not save you. Baptism will not get you to heaven. It's a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So be careful that you don't get those things mixed up. Examine your heart. The Lord's Supper. If we're not careful, this supper that's meant to remind us of what Jesus has done for us and move us to praise Him and serve Him and keep Him exalted. If we're not careful, listen, the Lord's Supper will become a ritual and a work. Something we feel like we've got to do or got to get through instead of really putting our focal point on what it's all about and using that to motivate us to grow in the Lord. Our material possessions. Boy, we are so blessed. But I want to ask you, what is it moving us to do? Do we realize that God has given us all these things and we are stewards and we have a heart that is grateful? Grateful. We're able to say thank you and we're able to praise God and we're just looking and saying, boy, what a great God. How wonderful it is to know Him. Or do we have a prideful, selfish attitude? Well, look what I've done. Look at my truck. Look at my car. Look at my house. Well, you know what? It can all be gone like that. Just like that. It can be gone. We need to be careful. We need to examine ourselves. The Lord's Day. The Lord's Day. It's supposed to be a special day. What's happened in America? It's interesting, on December the 7th, 1941, I'd say most people know that date, the date that Pearl Harbor was bombed. Why did the Japanese choose a Sunday to attack Pearl Harbor? Well, after the war was over, we discovered some papers that gave this report that the Japanese had sent a psychologist over to America to discover any weaknesses. And the combined report stated that early on Sunday morning, following a Friday that both the Army and the Navy got paid, our guard would be the lowest. Because Sunday, which was meant for a day of blessing, had become a day of national hangover. That was 1941. What would they say today, you think? What have we allowed to happen? God has allowed things that were meant to be for us, for our blessing, to be that which comes against us and is used against us. Why? Because we're not focused on Him. We're not focused on Him. We've allowed ourselves and our hearts to move away from Him. And you see, the snare continues in the fact that as David looked ahead and began to prophesy, he said, listen, this thing's going to end in judgment against you because this will be a nation that will wind up in servitude. The servitude of a nation. Notice it in verse number 10. Verse number 10, he says, may their eyes be darkened so they cannot see and their backs be bent forever. That phrase, their backs be bent, is a phrase that talks about servitude. Picture servitude, serving another person or another country. He said, listen, may their eyes be darkened, may they then go into the servitude of other nations. Well, I want you to know there was a time when Israel thought they couldn't fall. They couldn't fall as a nation. I mean, we're God's people. And yet as we go through the Old Testament and we see God give them a chance and they refused a chance and they refused a chance and they refused, and then God began to judge and judge and judge and judge, and finally you see them being pulled off their land. I want you to know, if we're not careful as Americans, we tend to look at the world the same way. Hey, you can't do anything to us. You can't cause us to lose our nation. Folks, listen, if Israel can fall, America can fall. One of the saddest chapters in the Bible is in the book of Ezekiel, when God was looking for one person to stand in the gap. In all of Israel, is there one that would stand in the gap on Israel's behalf between me and them and plead their case? And he says, and I found no one. No one. What about America? What about us? We look at ourselves, you know, there was a time when America was number one in almost every area in the world. It's not so today. It's not so today. We have lost that status. In fact, when we begin to look at ourselves, we see that there are those who are sending us down a road that's very dangerous. We are in one of the worst economic crises we have ever been in, period. And the unusual thing, it's not just America, it's worldwide. It's worldwide. We are facing some upcoming disasters, and I just wonder, what's going to be our response? You know, this service, what's so amazing is this service could be one that extends grace to America. The decision that you and I make today. Because God says this to His people in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. He said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Boy, what a promise. In Randy McCoy's class, we're starting that study of downpour. And again, the call is one that God says, return to me. Return to me. You know what? If you'll return to me, I will rain on you. I will pour out my blessings upon you. And He says that to us. He says that to us. He says that to me. He says that to you. He wants us to return to Him and listen, to make that turn and say, God, you know what? I'm willing to come to you and confess the fact that I've sinned and my forefathers have sinned, that our nation is sinning even now against you. But God, I want to see it change. And I want to be one to start it. God, will you just let your reviving start in my life? Will you pour fresh grace out upon me, new boldness out upon me? God, will you use me to be a witness for you? Well, I believe that's what He wants to hear us say today. But the question is this, do we want to do it? Are we willing to make a turn? Are we willing to come to God and say, God, we confess that some things need to change and we see it. And Lord, will you let it start today? Would you let it start that things, decisions made right here could bring fresh grace to Oak Hill and Burke County and North Carolina and America? Because we're going to get in the gap. We're going to stand with you. We're going to humble ourselves. We're going to seek you above everything else. Do you desire to do that today? Would you come to the Lord? I want to ask every head to be bowed, every eye closed. Oh God, we stand as your people. Lord, I know there's many here that have confessed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And Father, we realize today that we are here because of you. We're not here by chance or coincidence. Lord, there are some that are visiting in this service, but they're not here by accident. Lord, today is a day where changes can be made. Personal revivals could be experienced right here. Lord, homes could be saved. Communities could be changed by us coming and just being willing to confess our sin and turn to you and say, Lord, we need you more than anything else. And Lord, that we would just begin to seek your face. Lord, I believe there's some that you've been drawing to yourself. And even today, they've felt the very drawing power, the knocking of the Holy Spirit on their heart. And Lord, may they come and call on Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Lord, there's others that need to join this church. You've been leading them and guiding them. And today, Lord, if this is the day, may you draw them to make that decision. But Lord, I believe there's many of your people that just need to come and say, Father, we have sinned. Our forefathers have sinned. Our nation has sinned. Oh God, will you forgive us? Will you show grace? Lord, would you allow fresh mercies of your reigning grace to fall on us? And Lord, may it be revival. May it be an awakening. May it be a changing that'll be felt in this church and throughout this community. And Father, we're going to thank you for all that you do. You be glorified in this time of invitation. For we ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to stand and just keep your head bowed. Our instruments are going to play for our invitation. God's spoken to your heart. Maybe you know, man, I'm supposed to come. I need to go right now to the altar and pray. Would you come right now? Would you come? Maybe there's a decision. Maybe you need to get someone. So would you go and pray with me? I want to go today. You come. You come.